96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
They entered and started shooting, and most people hit the ground and didn't really take notice of what was going on.
These are people that came prepared, that they were dressed and equipped in a way to indicate that they were prepared, and they were armed with long guns, not handguns.
Well, first of all, we want to make sure that the community realizes that we are on a city alert. So we want people to be very cautious. We also want them to know that PD, together with the Sheriff's Department, has done all they can do at this particular time to secure this the local area.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment, Chaos in California, Massacre in San Bernardino. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about the horrific situation still very active in San Bernardino, California. Right now, we have a report that one suspect in that shooting has been killed and at least one at large in that shooting. Now, later tonight, we will have an open discussion about faith and finding light on the darkest of days like this. If you want to join the discussion, give us a call right now. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. First, joining me to talk about the mass shooting is Dr. Tyrone Powers, former FBI agent and head of the Homeland Security Institute at Anne Arundel Community College. Dr. Powers, thank you for joining us. I need to get right into the conversation. Do you believe this was a terror attack?
Well, I think it's too early to tell. I think it certainly has some of the evidence of a terrorist attack, but you got to remember the terrorists, to deem something a terrorist attack, there has to be some ideological reason behind it, because terrorism is really for the people you leave behind, leaving them in fear that if they don't give you something, it's for political or social objectives. If they don't change something, then this can happen again. So I think that is, it has some of the evidence of a terrorist attack, but I think before we can fully say that and conclude that, there's much more investigation that needs to be done.
What about being a little closer to home? Could it be possibly political, like is suggested by the shooting at Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs just last Friday?
Yeah, and now the shooting at Planned Parenthood is no doubt a terrorist attack. You're sending a message to Planned Parenthood. It could be that case when we find out who the victims were, why they targeted this place, why they targeted it at this time, why they targeted that particular reception, then we will know a little bit more about what their objective and ideology was. You have to make sure, though, and then you rule it in before you rule it out, but you have to make sure that they weren't out to get somebody in that particular reception, that it wasn't personal, that it wasn't a revenge factor against individuals rather than a particular social or political cause. Mm-hmm. And then you can make some come to some conclusions. So that's what will be going on in terms of the investigation. Who was in the room? What was the purpose of it? What was the purpose of the event and why this particular location? And then you can decide whether it was domestic terrorism or whether it was just a mass shooting with some revenge in mind.
You touched on something very interesting. This is a facility for the developmentally disabled. It is a massive facility, some 400 to 600 employees. That does not count the patients that possibly are there. I was asked earlier today if indeed this was a terrorist act, domestic or otherwise, why would this be a target? And my response was, why not? Was I off base there?
Well, terrorist targets are always symbolic, and usually they try to send a message. So that's why in many cases you'll see them attacking government facilities, and then when those facilities become hardened, then they go at the soft targets, as we saw in Paris. So specifically, when you begin to look at it on the face of it, this particular place Where they attacked in this particular place, the information that we have so far, there's not a lot that you can glean from that as to why specifically this place right now. But again, that will take place during the course of the investigation. The priority of all of law enforcement out there right away was to find these individuals because it was such a unique situation because they weren't trying to be martyrs. They were trying to get away, whether it was one or more individuals. And the fear was that despite all the other investigation determining whether it was terrorism or not terrorism, the fact that they were able to get away meant that they were likely going to kill again. Because once you kill 14 to 20 to 30 people, you have no incentive to stop killing. There's no greater penalty for killing more. So the focus became immediately securing the place and then finding these individuals or the individual before they went out and killed someone else. Because they had to have at least a plan B to their actions.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the massacre in San Bernardino, California. I have on the line with me Dr. Tyrone Powers, former FBI agent and head of the Homeland Security Institute at Anne Arundel Community College. If you have a question or comment, please give us a call. Using your keen eye, and I unfortunately have to say, Dr. Powers, that we have spoken to you so many times about this kind of situation. At first blush, what is your evaluation of what you've seen so far?
Well, the fact of the matter is that in an open society like ours, these incidents can occur. And once they start occurring and they are successful, even if it's only once a year or twice a year, when they are successful, there are other individuals out there that maybe have grievances or maybe ideological in scope that know that they can successfully carry out one of these particular events. Some of them are willing to die right there on the spot. Others are willing to get away. And I think what you're seeing now is that because some of these shootings are successful, not successful in terms of the perpetrators getting away, but successful in reaping havoc and causing chaos and destabilizing, then you'll have other individuals who are on the edge or who have a cause to move to put these things in place. So it simply means this, because you can't prevent them all, what you have to do is increase security. And we have to think of security differently now. We used to just hire people to be a psychological barrier. If people saw somebody out there, they saw security, they wouldn't act. Now we're going to have to train, we're going to have to find and train good security people that have the ability and the skill set to intervene and at least mitigate the damage that can be done. That's going to take place whether it's a government building or it's a non-government building. Our whole thought process on what security means, what security is, and what a security officer is going to change, because we cannot change the fact that this is such an open society and we cannot harden every target, not only from terrorists, but from individuals who would carry out these attacks for revenge or other reasons.
Dr. Powers, hold on. We have a phone call on the line. Ashley calling from Greenville, California. Ashley, thank you for calling. You say your sister works in the area?
Yes, my sister is a middle school teacher, and the school that she teaches at is only blocks away from where the shooting took place. And so immediately when it happened, she started texting us to let us know that the school was placed on lockdown, that they were, you know, obviously not allowed to let the kids out, and the school was placed on lockdown until school let out about 3:15.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to comment that it's just sad that the world that we live in now since 9/11, that in California we have earthquake drills and fire drills, but now the kids, in addition to earthquake and fire drills, they now do lockdown drills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, a lot of people who live in, say, D.C. or L.A., you know, they've had experience like this, but living out here in the suburbs, it's, yes, you hear it on the news, but it doesn't touch home, whereas now I'm only 20 minutes away, and it's really, it's sinking in, because my sister was affected, I'm affected, and it's in our backyard. And it just seems so random, but it wasn't.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Ashley, thank you so much for giving us a call, sharing that information. I'm hoping that your sister is okay, and that the children in her classroom and at her school are okay. Everyone got home safely. I really appreciate you giving us a call. Dr. Powers, real brief, one final comment from you before we continue with our discussion in another vein. Your thoughts about where we are right now with this situation?
Yeah, again, there's much more investigation to be done. Not only do you have to pursue these particular suspects, one of them allegedly down, you have to see who helped them, what kind of planning took place, over what period of time it took place, how did they know they could escape from there, had they checked police response. There's so much investigation to be done so you can put in the proper security measures. And that there may be other individuals who may or may not have been directly involved in the shooting that may be accessories before the fact, mm-hmm. and certainly could have been accessories after the fact. So a lot more investigation. The most important thing, though, is to get these people incapacitated before they could do more harm.
Again, I want to thank Dr. Tyrone Powers. It is always an honor to have you on this program to use your expertise and analysis in our quickly changing world. So, Dr. Powers, again, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joining me now as we continue this discussion is Dr. Judy Moore Latta. Dr. Latta is a journalist and professor of media, journalism, and film here at Howard University. She is also the author of a new book titled God Ain't Sleep, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Also joining me, Dante King, pastor of Greater Mount Zion Holy Church in Prince Frederick, Maryland. Tonight we are asking the question, how do you find the light on the darkest days like this? And I think it is quite appropriate that Dr. Latta continued to express interest in joining us on this program to talk about not only her book, but this unfortunate situation. Dr. Latta, it's an honor to have you on the program. And Pastor King, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Dr. Latta, first of all, you, as I said, you are a veteran journalist and professor here, and this is the kind of situation that you have been a part of as far as coverage, as far as teaching, as far as analysis, but you're also a woman of faith. Mm-hmm. When you look at today's situation, how do you balance both of those?
Well, you know, Harold, this is the point when people ask, where is God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in horrific situations like this, the immediate question is, well, where is he and what is he doing? And so it's a very tough thing. It's a very tough thing to do. It's because what happens is that people immediately see themselves and they don't see other people. By that, I mean everybody has a problem. Mm-hmm. Everybody has an issue. And somebody once said, everybody you meet is fighting a battle mm-hmm. That you know nothing about. And so there are all kinds of things that are going on. And just as horrific as this was, and just as horrific as the situation last week and the week before, and that kind of thing, there are people who are walking around who have lost hope,
mm-hmm.
and people who have who just don't know where to turn. And it's a matter of understanding that the faith that they have is elastic
mm-hmm.
and can be expanded. And so it's a very tough thing to do, but it's digging deep inside and mm-hmm. finding hope.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Please join this discussion. We want to talk about finding the light on dark days like this, and so we encourage you to join us. And the lines are open, and so please share your thoughts about this horrific situation and the intersection of faith and light on these dark days. Quickly, Pastor, I've got about 30 seconds before I take another break, but your thoughts about what has happened today.
Thomas Paine, the founding father, said these are the times that try men's souls. So I think everyone is being tried, not just that day, what happened in Paris, what happened in Nigeria with Boko Haram. Terrorism is any act that someone So I think because of what's been going on in our society, everyone is terrorized, not just today in California, but all over our country. We need to institute more things than just prayer. As our faith is being tried, we must change policy as well, and control and things like that. So it's a total thing of the church and government need to be changed, but our faith must stay intact. Yes, our faith is elasticity. Yes, faith can be stretched, but if you stretch it so far, anything can burst. Pop out of shape.
I need to take a break, but if you want more information about Dr. Latta's book, and we're going to continue to talk about this, you can find out online at GodAin'tSleep.com. That's GodAin'tSleep.com. I also will be posting more information about a book signing coming up on WHUR.com. I need to take a break. We will continue this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. Lines are open 202-319-7810. Tammy, you're next. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network.